all the contracts do expire at different times. The benefits of moving to a consolidated schedule where we're able to do that for vendors is that their 20-year schedule will start over, which, you know, given that we're going to do all this work, getting new 20-year contracts in place is going to be a benefit for both industry and for us. The trick there is we don't want everything to expire at the same time where we're going to have a bow wave of 2,500 contracts that we're going to have to renew all at the same time. So we're right now we've got a team of folks working through when the expirations are happening for our existing schedule contracts, how do we consolidate those really in a time-phased approach so we're not setting ourselves up for a huge administrative burden when it comes time to exercise options or award new contracts.
I think it would be helpful if you explained the idea of suspend taking new offers, because if I'm a vendor and I'm in the middle of offering or I'm going to offer, that's of concern. You know, I've heard that there's huge delays under MOBIS. I've heard there's huge delays on getting on to certain schedules. So how long is the suspension going to be for? Is it just going to be for a couple months? And offer some more details, because I think vendors would have a lot of concerns if you look back at just some of the history around, for instance, office supplies, Schedule 75, when that was suspended for strategic sourcing, which I know is a whole different conversation than what we're talking about here, but that got a lot of people worked up and concerned.
For our existing contractors, they won't be impacted at all if we've got options to exercise that kind of thing. We'll continue with that contract administrative workload. For new contracts, we will suspend them. We're working through how long that will be. It will probably be at least a quarter or 3 months, 6 months. We're still working through, you know, how to really limit the impact taking on new offers. The other challenge for us is going to be if there's a federal agency that needs a contractor to get on schedule, we're going to have to accommodate that. So the big driver there is going to be if a federal agency is working with a contractor, interested with a contractor, we're going to work to accommodate getting those vendors on schedule. So for existing contractors, not an impact. For contractors that are interested in getting on schedule while we go through this transition, we are going to have a break. It's not going to be a long break, but we are going to have one.
And you had said before, and correct me if I'm wrong, how many people hold schedules under professional services?
A little over 3,500 today.
Let me move over to category management a little more broadly. You mentioned that you were wearing a kind of a new hat of leading the effort around professional services and category management. This consolidation, does this fit right under the category management effort, or is the category management effort has other initiatives that also work well with this consolidated schedule?
Our consolidated schedule initiative is really one initiative of several that we have under the professional services category. And we've got a number of internal initiatives that we're working through to establish the category. The first is to really organizationally align all of our professional services offerings. And what I mean by that is today, our professional services contracts are managed out of multiple centers in multiple parts of the organization. So all of that work will be under one organizational structure that I will be leading. And so we hope that we're going to be able to drive consistency across all of our professional services offerings by making that organizational change. The second is providing new and transformed contract offerings. OASIS and OASIS Small Business is one example of that. Our partially or fully consolidated professional services schedules is another. The third that we're looking at in terms of new offerings is also this idea of, is there really a need for a logistics multi-agency contract similar to OASIS but really focused in the logistics environment? That'll be next on our list of things to look at in terms of new offerings that we may be looking at rolling out for FAS. The third is really focused on better supporting our customers with their needs. Right now, we don't do a lot of analytical work on behalf of federal agencies. So, for example, we've got a team of folks that has been working with the Department of Transportation on doing some pretty in-depth analysis of their professional services spend, where GSA contracts could be a benefit to them. We're not going to be the best solution for all of their mission requirements, but where we are, we can certainly help agencies take a look at their professional services spend and how they might tackle that differently by using existing contracts. In government, The second major initiative that we've got going on from a professional services perspective is establishing a virtual environment or a category hallway. There are a number of other categories that are also working on that today. But what's going to be in this virtual environment is everything a contracting officer or program manager would need to know about how to acquire professional services, what the best practices are in professional services, where we've got prices paid data, sharing that prices paid data with federal contracting officers and program managers. In that hallway, we're also looking to establish a number of virtual webinars, training. If you need on-site training, you can schedule that with us, and we'll come out to your facility and provide that training on how to use our professional services schedules or best practices and how to acquire professional services. So that's a huge initiative for us. We actually are starting that planning work for our virtual category hallway and are hoping to get that launched and have some new tools available for federal buyers by probably late March of 2015.
All right, let me back up for one of them. I'm interested in the data analysis work you're doing on behalf of transportation. Obviously, this sounds to me like maybe a pilot program to see maybe how it could work and see what kind of benefits you could bring. Can you talk a little bit more about how you're analyzing their spend and then what kind of recommendations come from that analysis?
It is a pilot project. We have been testing some new data visualization software here in FAS, and I've really started to see buying trends and spend in a very different way. It's much easier than what we've done traditionally, and I did this when I was at the Department of Homeland Security, was you download a bunch of data from the Federal Procurement Data System and try to see where you're spending dollars with what contractors, in what locations, how many contracts do you have with a given vendor, what are those prices look like, what exactly are we buying from those contractors. And we've gotten access to, like I said, this new data visualization software that allows us to take that spend data from FPDS and look at it in a much easier way. We can actually even map it out geographically in terms of what contracting offices are buying what from what contractors. And you start to see opportunities to really handle that spend differently. So, for example, if you've got, transportation has not been looking at this, but we are for language services. Is there an opportunity for us to set up regional BPAs for language services for a given agency? Would that be a better solution than having a nationwide contract that is, handling every requirement for language services? Given that particular industrial base, it's small businesses, and we need to figure out how to really maximize small businesses and their participation in the language services environment. How do we do that in a smart way? And this data visualization software helps us see that. Well, we've got a huge requirement for language services in the Southwest, for example. So are there opportunities for agencies to set up BPAs where it's established, they're able to easily access vendors that provide that and don't have to go through, full and open competition to get those services? Back to transportation, that's exactly what we're doing for them, is let's just provide them with a picture of here's all the professional services contracting that is happening in their agency today. Here are their major service providers. Here's where that work is happening. Here's the contract vehicle that work is going through. And if we've got opportunities to move that work to either schedules or our OASIS contract vehicle, we can let our customers know, here are some opportunities to move this full and open competition work to an existing contract vehicle to really streamline that process for them.
Once you see some of the results from this, is this a service that maybe you'll open up to other agencies? Is that maybe the long-term view?
Oh, absolutely. We've got, in terms of what we're working to set up from a category perspective, is that we would have a team on my staff that would be available to agencies to do that analytical work for them, whether it's at a component level or for a given contracting office. They already pay a fee to use our schedules, and this would be something that we could provide to them if they wanted it. No extra charge, so to speak. And we really think that that's the value-added work that we should be doing for federal agencies.